I thank everyone for coming. Peshus the Murad Asra and Rabbi Hafer. And a great shukorach to Mesila for organizing this special event. We all know how important tzedakah is. It's one of the principles of Yiddishkeit. Some even say it's the principle of the world. Even goyim, some say, have an obligation to give tzedakah. And Chazal tell us about the many brachas that one receives from giving tzedakah. By giving tzedakah, that's how one becomes rich. It's mavir and esrora hagezer, as we all know. It saves Klai Yisrael, Medina shel Gehenim. And certainly in times of a tzara that we're living in, it's definitely an integral part of our avodas Hashem to give tzedakah. And Chazal tell us that even someone who is really poor, he's still obligated to give at least a minimum amount of tzedakah. We have to keep that meat of giving that Klai Yisrael gives. And it's really incredible how much Klai Yisrael gives. That compared to the Umos HaOlam, we just give and give and give. And it's something that is we should be very, very proud of. How special it is that we give that meat of tzedakah is part of our chinuch, even from the time a child is a little child. They put a penny in the pushka, and that's that we grow up with. You'd give tzedakah. It's also a very basic hashkafa that the money that we have is not ours. The money in our bank account, the money in our wallet, it's not our money. It's bikadon from the Ribono Shel Olam. He's expecting us to use his money the proper way and use his money to help out his children, other members of Klai Yisrael. The question, obviously, is how much money should one give for tzedakah? How much to allocate for tzedakah? And there's no set answer to that. Depends on each person. Some people naturally give more. Some people naturally don't give as much. They have to push themselves to give. It's hard to say an official amount that a person is obligated to give or needs to give. And everyone has to see, what their heart kind of tells them and try to train themselves in giving tzedakah. But there are times that one has to be careful not to give too much tzedakah in situations where it might not be the right thing. For example, it's brought down by the poskim, if a person has chavos, he's in debt. So he should not give a tremendous amount of tzedakahs. Doesn't mean that because he has he has student loans that could last years and years, they shouldn't give tzedakah during that whole time. It means that he has to. It's important that the loans have to start to be paid up, that it's channeling in the right, the arrows facing the right direction, but not to be morbid, but tzedakah, when he knows that he owes money. He owes money to other yidden, he owes money to institutions, that a person could only be morbid tzedakah when he has obligations to pay. I mean, that is the wrong thing to do. As much as his heart wants him and pouring out, I want to give, you have to hold yourself back, that I have obligations to pay. I have chovos. There's a concept in Yiddishkeit called meiser, to give a tenth. Even among certain goyim, they borrowed the concept from us of giving a tithe. And it has a mocker in Chazal. The Ovos HaKadoshim gave Meiser. And there's many, many Mamari Chazal about the Chashivas of giving a tenth of one's profits for that particular year to tzedakah. And I could stand here for another 10, 15 minutes saying how special Meiser is. And the Segulas of Meiser. Aser Ta'aser Chazal tell us, Aser Bishoshet is Asher, in order that you become richer. And we see that Taka, those that are very careful of Meiser, they see a special bracha by being very medactic in Meiser. But we have to keep in mind that giving a Meiser is not the same type of obligation in Yiddishkeit as taking lulav, as hearing shofar, as saying shema. And that's why there are times where a person has to really ask a shaila, should he be giving maaser or not? It's very wonderful how there are families that persevere when things are a little bit tight. They persevere to make sure to give maaser, and the taka is a very special bruch that comes from that. And it's beautiful to see how families are so careful about it. But there are times where a person has to ask a shaila to their personal rav that maybe they should not be giving maaser. Sometimes, as I mentioned before, a person has obligations to pay as chovos. He's continuously dipping into his savings, dwindling savings, in order to continue to pay maaser. Or by paying maaser, it's causing tension, anxiety within the bias between the husband and the wife, or within the whole family. And this is a serious question that people have to ask. Should I be giving maaser or not? One shouldn't assume that, you know, I have to give it and that's it, nothing to talk about. Yes, it's so special. And chas v'shalom, I'm not coming to minimize the chashivas of maaser. But there are times when a person should not be giving maaser with the harav, psak of the rav. Also, there's a discussion in the poskim exactly how to calculate maaser. There are different ways of calculating maaser. How to come to a net income, which expenses to subtract from his gross to come to the net income. And then also, a person sometimes, according to certain poskim, could just give, say, 3%, 4% of their total profit, and that might be considered maaser according to some poskim. I mean, I'm just food for thought. This is something that a person has to ask. Don't assume that this is it. I have to do it, and there's nothing to talk about. These are issues that one has to discuss and ask a shaila about. Our minig is that we give maaser for many different inyoni mitzvah, even though it's not for the poor. We give maaser to help different mosdos in the city, and whether it's the Eiver or the mikvah, any different parts in the tzibur that need that is a proper charity, that we use that for maaser. Obviously, one should allocate certain amounts for aniyim, like Avos Yisrael and other types of stukas of that nature. But the question comes up, can one use maaser for tuition? And this is a very difficult question. This is beyond the scope of this talk. There's a lot of different details that go into it, whether the gender of the child, the age of the child, post-high school, pre-high school. It's a very complicated question. But I just want to bring out one point. Yes, sometimes a person could find different ways of using maaser to pay tuition, depending on, you know, that's what his personal rav holds. But there are times that you have to just say, listen, I have to pay tuition. I can't afford maaser. I'm still going to give stucca. I'm still going to give a certain percentage of stucca for sure. But maybe I can't afford to give a full maaser. I have to pay tuitions. And to go and to say, well, I'm going to give maaser. I can't use maaser for, say, my rav said I can't use maaser for so-and-so type of tuition. So that's it. So I guess I can't pay full tuition. Pay full tuition or whatever amount of tuition is you could pay. And then, so you won't be able to give so much maaser. And these are things that one has to discuss with the rav. And not to just assume that, you know, I have this obligation and then that's it. You have to be very, very careful about this. Who do we give our tzedakah to? So Chazal tells us there's a certain hierarchy of kedima, that obviously one's personal family, their children come first, for example, and then siblings, other close relatives, and neighbors, those who live in his neighborhood, and then ani yercha come first. So there's a whole hierarchy. Number one, we should keep in mind that sometimes we're always looking at this stuck and that stuck, and we could have our own children, own relatives, who might not be living in our city, but they come first. A person has children that are just starting off, whether they're working, whether they're learning in kol, whatever it might be. Again, one has to ask a rav that about using their money to support their children. And I've seen many times where people are giving loads of stucca to so-and-so mosad when they have relatives that are suffering. So that's important to keep that in mind. Ani Ercha come first, Chazal tell us, before Ani Er Acheres. And Ani Ercha come first before Ani Eretz Yisrael. And it's for that reason that the Rabbanim of our city have said over many, many times, have from the pulpit, have sent out in the mail on behalf of the Vada Rabbanim of Baltimore, that we have to give the majority of our tzedakahs to the Moses of our city. The Moses of Chinuch, our city, the Moses of Stuck of our city, to the Aniyim of our city, that Aniya Ercha come first. Now, this does not mean, this whole hierarchy, that you give all the money to this one relative that needs it, and give all the money to Aniya Ercha, and ignore Aniya Eretz Yisrael, Aniya other cities. But it means that your hadgasha, your emphasis, has to be following this hierarchy, more or less. And that's why it's true that we're going to keep the majority of our tzedakahs here in the city, but we still have to support other chashuv mosdos, and certainly in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes there are mosdos that one benefited from, either yeshivas, seminaries that you learned in, certain mosdos that just helped out family members you have a certain closeness to. They might not be in the city, they might be overseas, but there's a certain atzakar zatov, a certain connection, a certain kesher that you have to also be madgish. It doesn't mean you give them all your tzedakahs, but there has to be an emphasis. And of course, we have to support any Eretz Yisrael. We all know it's a challenge, and the knocks at the doors, in the middle of supper, trying to spend time with your children. But that's been our job here in America, as American Jewry, for years. That we've supported our brethren in Europe, we support our brethren in Eretz Yisrael. It could very well be that our success here in America, which was a midbar shemema, and the Baruch Hashem, the nes that we're here today with the amount of Torah that's being learned and mitzvahs that are being kept and Shabbos and Kashrus, it could very well be because of that we were the ones that helped support Europe and helped support Eretz Yisrael. There's a letter from Chaim Ozer to the Jews of New York, the Yidden of New York, thanking them for helping support the Mosdos in Europe. It's a famous story that a grant from Rokeach Soap Company in Gefilte Fish, that they helped out start B'nai Brak. And Manashevitz Matzes was helped out many Mishalachim. It was the Yidden of America that really, that's kind of in a way our job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Shefa, and we need to support Yidden, certainly Ani Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean that we give the most of our tzedakahs. We have to, the Hadgasha, the majority has to be here, but we have to keep them in mind. Just I want to tell you a story, Derech Agav. We have to be very careful not to judge people. You know, how come they need money? How come they can't work? How come they do this? You know, we don't judge people. People need money. You know, it's our job is to help support them. Here's a very beautiful story that happened in Eretz Yisrael. I lived in Eretz Yisrael for many years. So whenever I go back, I have many Israeli friends that I speak to. So I saw a friend of mine. He said, you know, Baruch Hashem, he just married off his son. His son's running in Panovich, very chashuv bacher. And he said, it came time for, to talk money, half the apartment. And the person said, no, you know, you have a very chashuv son. The father of Kala said, I'll take care of the apartment. The person said, are you sure? You know, the minig is, you know, you're supposed to split or whatever it is. He says, no, you have a very chashuv son. I want my daughter to be, you know, to have such a chashuv chassan. I'll take care of it. So he thought, this person must have a tremendous Yerusha. You know, some money, some, you know, the person himself was in Clay Kodesh, was still learning. He found out after the Chasana, he told me he was so embarrassed, that this person owned an apartment in Harnov. He sold that apartment, moved to another neighborhood, smaller apartment, not as from a neighborhood, and with that difference, he bought an apartment for his daughter because he wanted such a special Chasana. for his daughter. He had a, and this was not, this was like the beginning of marrying off his children. He had, I think, the third, when his third child of 9, 10 children. But he was Moser Nefesh for his whole family. They were Vatir on a nice apartment and a nice shkuna because he wanted to have a special son-in-law. But everything has to be in balance. And that's always the key. You know, the rules of hierarchy and stucca and who to give stucca are not so computerized. So these are just the basic ideas. And one has to really ask for hadracha exactly how to allocate their particular stuccas. Within the city itself, which stuccas to give to? Mashlibo chafetz. You know, some people feel a connection to this stucca, some to that. It's good to disperse it over different mosdos, a little bit moses of chinuch and moses of other stuccas, of the moses of chesed. Sometimes you feel a certain connection. You have to listen to your heart also. And then the question comes up, what happens if a person is not paying full tuition? Different moses of chinuch have given them a tuition reduction. So, can they still give stuckas to other Moses in the city? To Aniyim, to Eretz Yisrael? So again, it's a balance. That of course, one has owes incredible hakaras hatov to these Moses of Chinuch that gave him a reduction. Even if he paid full tuition, you have a lot of hakaras, have to have hakaras hatov to them. Teachers and principals work much more than they have to for our children. So it's important that we have to keep those Moses in mind. If you're getting a tuition reduction, yes, you should be madgish and emphasize your stuckas and channel them to that particular Moses. Doesn't mean you give all your stuckas there and you can't give stuckas anywhere else. No, it's a balance. But we have to keep that in mind. That should be towards the top of your list. You got a bonus in work, and great, you got some bills to pay up, and now you have a little extra stucca money to give. Keep those Moses in mind. You got a tuition reduction for them. Keep those Moses in mind. They should be at the top of your list. You have to emphasize those Moses that bent over to help you, that you have to help them. You all have to be misfalo. The Kadosh Baruch should help us give our stuck in the proper way. And talk us through the schus of giving us stucca. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring us Yeshuas and Nechamas. And should talk of be remove all Gezeiras Roes from us. And should talk of be Zofa to be able to come to that time in the future where our Kadosh Baruch Hu will be Mefarnes everyone and everyone will live B'Shefa V'Bracha.
A couple with 5 kids is meeting their financial obligations and paying full tuition and barely getting by. Within the 5 kids, they have 3 boys and 2 girls. They would like to have a 6th child, even though they would not be able to pay full tuition and they would incur some debt. What would your response be if they asked you whether to have that child, Rebbe Berger?
Also not an easy question. But we have to keep in mind that Chazal tells us that when a child is born into the world, Chazal discusses a boy, that he comes with his own peckle of money that needs to support him. And that every bringing a Yiddish and a Shama into the world is le'ela le'ela. And although every time a child is born, is if you add up all the expenses, is from the time of from the diapers till until paying for the chasna, it's many times 6 digits over. But the beauty of Klai Yisrael is that we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us. There's a special Seata Dishmaya when a child is born. Obviously, you know, it has to be balanced, and this is a very serious halachic child that one has to ask with their rav. But it's something to keep in mind that when a child is born, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's extra. That's a segula for panasa in a way, and we have bitachon in Ribono Shel Olam. You know, certainly in the Gabi these particular inyanim. Just a general thing that, as much as the importance of what we're doing tonight, in keeping in mind and not to have chovos and keeping a proper budget. It's all balanced with the bitochen Ribono Shel Olam. A Yiddish family does not live in Alpi Derech HaTova here in America, here in the whole world. It's all a nes that we're able to pay whatever tuition we can pay, whatever you do. I once spoke in public. I said, in a Yiddish calculator, 2 + 2 = 5. And certainly when it comes to raising children and giving them a chinuch and everything, with the proper hadracha, with using the proper seichel and normal hishtadlus, there's a tremendous siyata d'shmaya. And shall be zocha, if that's siyata d'shmaya, to have a lot of nachas from all of our children.